Let's pray. Just take a moment at the throne of grace. Our Father in heaven this morning, our prayer would be that you would draw us near to the cross where thou hast died. Draw us near, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Lord, to realize our weakness in moments like this. And so we just commend ourselves to you and pray for the need of the moments that lie ahead. Remember the kids that have left us. Thank you for the word that Garth has brought to them this morning. We pray that you would speak to them when they're young, Lord. And just leave ourselves before thee now in every need. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want this morning to speak to you on the great subject of baptism. Many weeks ago now, just after Christmas, Morris asked me to speak this particular Sunday morning. From Christmas, I have been thinking about baptism. One of the things I have to say that Dennis Lyle, during his pastorate here, had a wonderful way of continually speaking to us on things, ordinances of our faith, baptism, church membership, head covering, so many different things that are so relevant to us on teaching on our New Testament scripture. And so I had been thinking about baptism, and when Morris asked me to speak this morning, and then it was no coincidence, of course, it was the Spirit of God who led it to be the baptism tonight. And so what I want to do this morning is to speak to you about this great ordinance of our faith of Lurgan Baptist Church. Try to explain it very simply and trust that if you're not baptized this morning, that at least the seed will be sown. And so what I want to do this morning is to read in two scriptures. First of all, in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. This, of course, is known as the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus Christ, just after Calvary, after the resurrection, 40 days later, and just before he went back to heaven, he met his disciples in verse 16. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Turn, please, into Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And from this story this morning, I want to talk to you about believers' baptism. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. I trust that most of us are familiar with this story. And we'll think about it in a moment or two. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip the apostle, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was this: he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Here, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen. And God will bless his word to us this morning. I realize that as I speak here this morning, speak to you or those that are listening over the internet this morning, that perhaps you have been brought up in a different denomination than the Baptist Church. Perhaps you've been brought up in a different denomination than the Brethren, the Gospel Halls, and those that practice adult believers' baptism. I want to, this morning, teach you and instruct you of what this particular church believes in baptism. Realize that in other denominations, both Protestant and Roman Catholic, that when we speak about baptism, we speak about infant sprinkling. When an infant comes to a certain age, the Sunday morning or so is appointed, and they come to the front of the church, and water is taken and sprinkled on their head. And this morning what I want to do is I want to teach you what this church, Lurgan Baptist Church, believes on baptism. The Roman Catholic Catechism says that, and I quote, infants, unless baptized, cannot enter heaven. Now, I'm not sure what particular church or denomination you were brought into, you have been born into. I have to say, as I begin this morning, that I'm not here to offend anyone in any way. Anybody that thinks I'm here to offend doesn't know me very well. But in this particular church, in Lurgan Baptist Church, we believe only in the baptism that is portrayed in the New Testament. That is the practice of adult believers' baptism. In the constitution of this church, which many of you have, and if you haven't, ask one of the elders, and we certainly get you a copy of it. In the constitution of this church, Lurgan Baptist Church, Article 1.M, says this, and I quote, the binding character of the ordinances, baptism of believers by immersion, being the only Christian baptism. And so what I want to do this morning is very simply, I want to explain believers' baptism. Where these good people in the front seat are sitting this morning, just at their feet below it, there is a water tank. And by now there is about 2 or 2.5 or 3 feet of water in it, and tonight the deacons will have it ready, the lid will be off the tank, and Ronnie and Al will baptize 3 candidates tonight. And so I encourage you to come back tonight, especially if you haven't witnessed a baptism before, and witness this great truth that we believe in this church. It's a necessity in a believer's life. It's a commandment of God. It's a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel and then baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so what I want to do is I want to go to Acts chapter 8 this morning for a moment or two. And I want to think about this story of this baptism that happened in the middle of a desert, no less, 2,000 years ago. When we join the story in chapter 26, if we had read the previous verses, we would read that Philip the Apostle has been down in Samaria, and as he has preached in Samaria in the days of the early New Testament church, you will see that many are being saved. In fact, there's a great revival takes place. If you look in verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, the people together, everybody, the people with one accord give heed unto those things which people speak, which Philip spake, and hearing and seeing the miracles he did and so on. And verse 8 tells us, and there was great joy in that city. And so Philip is having a very successful gospel mission, gospel campaign down in Samaria. And there's a great revival happening. And then all of a sudden, God tells them to leave that place and they head down into the desert at Gaza. It almost sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? It almost sounds that God has maybe told them the wrong thing. Imagine this happening today. I was thinking about this morning very early as I went over this again. Imagine some of our great preachers or evangelists today having a great gospel campaign in a big tent somewhere, and everybody that comes through the door is getting saved. And then one particular night, the preacher stands up and he preaches, and many are saved again. And he says, by the way, the mission's over. Maybe there's 2 or 3 weeks to go. But the preacher says, I'm finished. God has told me to go somewhere else. And this is what Philip done. He was in a great gospel campaign in Samaria. And God tells him to leave it and to head many miles away down into the desert at Gaza. Now, I want to say something here this morning. I just want to stop for a second or two. And let's remind ourselves that God is interested in people and gatherings. But God is also interested in the individual. God is interested in just one person. Maybe this person is you in the meeting this morning. Maybe God has told you to do something in the days that are past. Maybe you really feel something in your heart that's burning, and you really feel that God's speaking to you, and it defies logic, and it goes against everything that's really standard. Well, I suppose what I'm saying this morning is go for it. Just go for it. We experienced in my own life, about this time last year, one Sunday night, about 10:30, I was in bed, and my daughter Louise come home, and she come in through the bedroom door, the light was still on, and she says to me, Dad, she says, I'm not going to university tomorrow. Now she's 2.5 years done, and I says, are you not well? She says, no, she says, I'm not going back. And so, to my shame, I lit out of bed and I went mad, just to tell you the truth. I regret that now. And he says, you can't. He says, you've only 12 weeks to go, 16 weeks to go, and you've put so much study in it, and you've put your time in it, and we have put money in it, and you can't do that. And it started at the bedroom and it ended up down in the kitchen at the table. And then she says, Dad, God has told me, and I believe with all my heart. And so I bit my lip and I went back to bed, and I didn't sleep, but anyway. And God did call her out, and now she's in Cork, working in the city of Cork Church there, and they're feeding hundreds of people on a weekly basis and working with those people that are addicted down there to different things. And so if God calls you out, if God tells you to do something crazy, if God asks you to do something against the norm, if follow his word. And so Philip, he leaves here, Samaria, where God's really blessing. He heads down into the desert, and it's warm and it's hot and it's sticky. And as he goes into the desert, he met a particular man from Ethiopia, a eunuch, the chancellor of the exchequer of Ethiopia, nonetheless. I assume that he probably was a dark-skinned man. And I want to think about a few things about this man this morning. I want you to think, of, first of all, about the journey that he took, Because this man had left Ethiopia, and he had went to Jerusalem, which was 1,500 miles. Mr. H spin, isn't it? 1,500 miles. And he had went in a chariot, and there would have been no air suspension or airbags or anything like that fancy. A real bone shaker type of thing. And he had travelled 1,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, and he had went to worship, that's what the passage tells us, and then he had left there, and he's heading back towards Ethiopia again. I want you to think of the journey he took. He had went to Jerusalem to worship. He was religious, but as we go on in the story, he realized that he hadn't God in his life. Mind you, isn't there many people in Ulster like that? Ulster's full of religion and religious practices. And yet many, so many, have no God in their life. The churches of our towns on a Sunday morning are filled of people who have religion but haven't God. And we hear in this great province of Ulster of ours so many times about for God and Ulster and all this. And here's a man, and he took this journey. Maybe you're like that this morning. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you come to church, and maybe you put on your best on a Sunday morning, and maybe you come. And yet in your life this morning is empty, and God's not in. And make the choice this morning and accept him. The journey he took. I want you to think then about the book he read. Verse 28 tells us that he was sitting in the chariot, and he had stopped obviously for a break a moment or two, and when he had been in Jerusalem he had got his hands on a scroll somewhere. Well, he had bought it, maybe he had been given it as a present or something, but as he sat here in Gaza having a break for a moment or two, he had the scroll pulled out and he had begun to read it. A wee note, let's not take for granted the scriptures that we hold in our hands, by the way. This man just had a portion of scripture, a few verses from Isaiah. And here he was in the middle of a desert. I don't know whether it was a being thorough for or not, maybe it was. But this man wasn't ashamed, and he was sitting and he was reading the scroll. Bible that we have in our hands, in our homes, is a holy, totally inspired word of God. People on the other side of the world risk their lives and give their life still for it, the persecuted church. And yet our houses, our homes, our bookcases are filled with Bible. Let's not take it for granted. It's God's word. The scriptures are amazing. Totally inspired word of God. And here's this Ethiopian, and he's sitting and he's reading the word of God, and God had begun to deal with him. Maybe it was in Jerusalem. Maybe it was just here as he began to read the scriptures, but he was reading from the book of Isaiah. The journey he took, the book he read, the man he met. As Philip comes down into the desert and he sees this man begin to read the scroll, you'll notice verse 30. God says to him, verse 29, go near, join yourself to this chariot. Philip completely realizes and just clicks with Philip. This is what God has called me from Samaria to do. Traveled many miles, wondered what's going on, sees this dark-skinned man reading the scroll. Right away, he realizes that's why God called me. And so God tells him, Philip, go, join yourself to the chariot. And you notice something in verse 30 here, look. And Philip ran, thither to him. Now I've been about a wee while and I've seen many things, but I've never really seen many preachers running. But Philip begins to run. He's so excited that God has called him that to speak to this man that he actually begins to run to him, run towards him. And as he runs towards him, he actually hears him. He actually hears the Ethiopian. So the Ethiopian's not reading it into himself silently. He's reading it out loud. And as he's reading it out loud, Peter, first of all, right away, realizes that he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. You see, Philip really knew the scripture, like we should. And Philip says to him, verse 31, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, how can I? Except some man should guide me, except some man should explain it to me. And then he says to Philip, come on up into the chariot. And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. And then, of course, verse 32 and 33 reminds us that it was in Isaiah that he was reading those great words of the prophet. And Isaiah chapter 53 was led as a lamb to slaughter. So sheep before his ears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 34, for the sake of time, and the eunuch answered him, and he said to Philip, he says, who is the prophet speaking about? Of himself or any other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It's not mighty. He just got down to the job right away. He didn't begin, Philip, and say, I go to the Baptist church, by the way. Or he didn't say, I go to a particular denomination. Or I vote for such and such, all these politics and all. He just began and he preached unto him, Jesus. And you know, that's what we need to do. And so could I encourage those this morning, those that minister the word is for ministering and teaching, to know that. But when we come to the gospel meetings, those that preach, let's preach Jesus. No politics, no point scoring, no denominationalism, nothing like that. Let's preach Jesus. That's what we need to do. And could encourage those too that sing, those that leave here on a Sunday night to sing, and those that sing here on a Sunday night, thank God for you and for the gift that he's given you. It lifts my soul when I hear someone singing about the cross. Let's sing Jesus. Let's preach Jesus. And that's what Philip done. He began at the very same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. Philip was good at his job. He preached about his life. He preached about his death. He preached about his resurrection. He must have preached about his resurrection, because when he preached about his resurrection, he brought the great truth of baptism out. And Philip, he began to speak this Ethiopian, and his heart was open, you know. And Philip, he was open, and he was occupied, and he was observant, and he was obedient. The journey took. The book he read, the man he met, and then the decision he made. Because verse 36, they went on their way. And when they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Now let's remember, we're in the middle of the desert here. There's not that much water in the desert here, isn't there? But God had made sure that there was some sort of a wee oasis there. God had made sure that the Ethiopian had parked his chariot up not too far from it. God had lifted a man from Samaria, sent him away down into the desert to preach the gospel to him. The Ethiopian accepted it. They started head down the road a wee bit and they come to this pond or something like it. Because you see, when God works, God really works. God can take the individual. God can take the extraordinary. And when you're in the plans and the purposes of God, God will point you in the right direction. And the Ethiopian seen the water. And he says to him, to Philip, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And just like that, the Ethiopian says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You notice in verse 38 that he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down into the water. And he was baptized. You notice that they went into the water. They went down physically into the water, to their knees, to their waist, whatever it was. They actually went down into that particular body of water. And watching Philip, he dips the Ethiopian. And he comes out, and he goes on his way rejoicing. He was rich. He was religious. He had been reading. And now he was rejoicing. Who can be baptized this morning as we finish? Well, when we carefully read the New Testament scriptures, we very quickly see that it's only believers that can be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, on the day of Pentecost, those that were received the word, they were baptized. Now, when we see the word baptized in our New Testament, it's a Greek word. The word is baptismo, and it means immersion. It means to dip. And so those people that were saved on the day of Pentecost, they received the word, and they were baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, where we've already read this morning, when Philip, well, these people were getting saved in Samaria, they believed and they were baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch believed that he was baptized. Acts chapter 16, that great night in Philippi, in the jail, when the earthquake came and the jailer ran in and he says to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He was saved. And you notice a verse or two later that he was saved and he was baptized. And all his household. What a night that was, by the way, in Philippi. When this jailer was saved, the same hour of the night they went, Paul and Silas with him, and they went and they found water somewhere. And they baptized him in the middle of the night. Acts chapter 18, the Corinthians here and believed and were baptized. Who can be baptized? After conversion, by faith alone in Christ alone. In faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, those that believe can be baptized. There's no gender difference. Men and women can be baptized. There's no age difference. And this is something that we need to be very careful about, those of us in leadership. Because for many years, you know, I have heard people saying about a little child, and he's not too old, he or she's not too old, and they want to be baptized. And how many times I've heard, well, they're a wee bit young. Maybe let's leave him for a wee while and see what way they get on. And then very quickly something happens. And let's not discourage our young people. Two of the candidates tonight, I was looking over the notes that Moore sent me for tonight, are 12 and 13 years old. Thank God for that. Young boys, young men, that are willing to take their stand for Christ. No age gender, no age difference, no gender difference. I wonder this morning in the meeting, are you baptized? Number one, are you saved? Yes, I am. Well, why aren't you baptized then? Because the scripture commands them. The Lord himself said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The first thing I believe and a believer's life should be baptism. These New Testament apostles preached it together. They preached salvation and they preached baptism together. And every instance that we're saying here today, the day of Pentecost, the desert in Gaza, Philippi in the jail, in Corinth, they believed, and the same day they were baptized. And there seems in the church today, there's this gap has come between salvation and baptism for some reason. A man-made gap. Let's follow the scripture. Who can be baptized? Why do they need to be baptized? Well, these believers were baptized. They wanted to obey Christ. They wanted to obey the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28. They want to confess Christ as the Lord of their life. And that's what their candidates tonight will do. What they're telling the world, their family and their friends will be here tonight to witness and being baptized. And what it is, baptism, it's an outward confession of an inward faith. And so in front of their family and their friends tonight and all us that are gathered, what they're saying is, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And that commitment that I made in my heart and my soul that particular time, I'm telling the world outside that I'm going to follow him. An outward confession of an inward faith. Who? Why? When? The pattern of baptism. As I've said this morning, as our time's gone, the Greek word is baptismal. It's to dip, it's to immerse, it's not to sprinkle. And so the pattern of baptism is this, as the cleanse tonight, as our candidates go down into the water, it speaks of death. Romans 6, Paul says we are saying we're broke from the past and we're dead to the world. And as they go down into the steps into the water tonight, they're saying we're dead to the old man. And then as they're Alan and Ronnie baptizes them tonight, and as they go under the water, it speaks of the burial of the Lord Jesus, buried just as Jesus was buried in the tomb. So in baptism, our lives as sinners are put away out of sight. They're buried tonight in the water, just for a second. And then as Alan and Ronnie bring them up tonight, they come up out of the water, and speaks of resurrection. They come out to live a new life for him. As they go down, they say, the old things are passed away. And as they bring him up again, they say, all things become new. The old man's gone. The new man's here. It's a serious commitment to decide to follow Jesus. And so we've thought of the timing. We've thought of the truth. We've thought about the testimony of baptism. We've thought about the who. We've thought about the why. We've thought about the when. It's clear cut to me and to those in leadership in this assembly that baptism by immersion is a command of God, a truth of the New Testament. And so as I finish this morning, those that aren't baptized this morning, I'm just going to leave a challenge with you. Just like that Ethiopian man. He said to Philip, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so the challenge I'm leaving you this morning is here's water, under here. And nothing hinders you to be baptized either. It's not too late. If you really feel the pull of God this morning and the teaching, and you do want to speak to some of the elders in the afternoon, and you want to be baptized tonight, that wouldn't be a problem. And I just present the challenge to you this morning. The truth of Scripture. What we believe. And may God, by the Holy Spirit, challenge your heart and mind today. May God bless his word.